Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Roddy, your host for Heroes, and we are back from our break, and we are going to visit today with a friend that's been doing several of our shows recently. His name is Eric Zarin, and he is the president, secretary, chair of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund Commission, and he's telling the stories about the heroes that the commission has awarded since 1904. Those awards have amounted to over 10,000, and the awards are given both in the United States and Canada, and remarkably, a lot of those, probably 500 or 600, have been in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio, and we'll hear some of those also. Eric, thank you for being with us today on Heroes.
Thank you for having me, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on and to hear the stories of the Hero Fund, and we'll start right in and tell us about the heroes you're going to be talking about today.
Sure will, Jim. And again, I have to say, through this exercise, I'm getting to dig deep into our archives, and I'm enjoying the process. I'm enjoying reading some of these stories for the first time. But let's start for this great example is the story in the case of James S. Campbell Sr. under file number 49964 with the commission. James Campbell saved Martin Fulton from burning in Vandergrift, PA, in December 12, 1967. When the panel truck that Fulton, who was 19 at the time, he was a bread delivery man, was driving, struck a utility pole, the vehicle toppled onto its side and the top then tipped into a shallow ditch, raising all four wheels off the ground. Now, flames appeared around the fuel tank from which gasoline was leaking. Fulton, who had suffered head injuries, was unable to get out of the cab of the truck. Campbell was 55. He was a milk delivery man. James Campbell Sr. heard Fulton shouting for help and ran to the burning truck as the flames spread to the rear of the vehicle. So we have a rapidly worsening situation. The impact of the truck against the pole had caused high tension wires to sag to 15 feet above the truck and to sway. And each time two wires made contact, there was a loud crack and an electrical flash. So now it's just gotten worse. Others had been attracted, and a woman warned Campbell that the truck's fuel tank might explode. As Campbell reached the front end of the vehicle, the electric lines again made contact. Now, fearing the wires might break and fall onto the truck, Campbell withdrew briefly. He then stepped onto a front wheel, which was within 2 feet of the nearest flames, climbed onto the front of the truck alongside its sliding door. He forced open the door, reached into the cab, and took hold of Fulton, who was immobile. By then, the increasing flames covered the entire rear of the truck. Campbell aided Fulton, who was bleeding profusely, in climbing out of the cab and thence to the ground. As they ran from the truck, there was an explosive spread of flame, some rising 20 feet, others enveloping the front end of the vehicle. Neither Fulton nor Campbell sustained burns. Fulton was hospitalized, and he did recover from his injuries. That was in Vandergrift, PA, in 1967.
Wow. Just imagine how much courage it took to stay with that. With all of that going on with electrical wires and fire and gasoline, that is someone who is absolutely determined to save a life.
Yeah, agreed. He could have found a number of reasons to walk or run away, but he stayed on site and did even more. He went in, he faced every one of the perils all at once and was able to extract the victim from the burning vehicle.
Wow.
We also have, rolling right along, Mr. Charles Hetrick under file number 79138. This is relatively recent. This is a 2006 case. And Charles D. Hetrick rescued Martha Rich from burning in Brookville, PA. It was in February of that year, 2006. Now, Rich was 58 at the time, used a wheelchair, was in the kitchen of her mobile home when a fire broke out there at night and sent dense smoke into the unit. She shouted for help, alerting neighbors who reported the fire. In his nearby home, Hetrick, who was 54, he was a technical school student, learned of the fire by radio and immediately responded to the scene. He opened the mobile home's front door and was hit by smoke and heat. Hearing Rich moan, Hetrick went to his stomach and crawled across the living room toward the sound. He found Rich, who was semi-conscious, laying on the floor where the living room and kitchen adjoined. The flames at that point engulfed the kitchen and were very close by. Hetrick grasped Rich and dragged her to the front door, where a neighbor assisted in removing her from the mobile home. Rich was taken to the hospital, where she was detained for treatment of smoke inhalation and a burn to an arm. She recovered. Hetrick inhaled smoke and also recovered. So that one was a happy ending. We look at a lot of fires in buildings, but specifically we see a lot of fires in mobile homes. And, you know, in one sense, you don't have as far to go generally as into a larger building. But that smoke and not knowing where you are or how to get back to the exits in that heat and smoke, it's always a very perilous, life-endangering situation.
And usually a mobile home only has one exit, which is
correct.
One door.
Yeah. That's right. And some of the construction materials create additional hazards, both in terms of, you know, egress and some chemicals. It depends on when and of what it was built and constructed and what's inside. That's always the case, but always very dangerous, especially at night, to go into a building, even a mobile home, when one is not familiar with the layout, what's inside. Sometimes they're very cluttered, and it can be very dangerous because entrapment is a reality.
And it's interesting that you noted that a neighbor came to help. And that seems to be a theme of a lot of the events that you report, that someone is next door or pulls up to the scene of a accident, and neighbors are offering help and support. And that happens often, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's really good to see. And certainly, you know, I mean, our area, I think we may be a little bit better known than some others in terms of having good neighbors and being good neighbors to one another. I mean, good neighbors make for a more fulfilling life or maybe a happier existence. But more than that, you know, often they save lives. So we never know who we'll have to count on or who we or others may turn to in a situation like this. But, you know, so often it is a neighbor who doesn't ignore the dangers being faced by someone in the neighborhood or nearby. And when they react in this way, heroically and selflessly, it's a great story to tell.
Have there been instances for the Carnegie Award to go to maybe more than one person at one event, maybe two people going in to help save someone?
Absolutely. I have a great example of it right here. I have Richard Gigliotti and his co-rescuer, Mr. Dennis Mark Baptiste, and Frank Osterling. The three of them worked together to rescue Timothy Baptiste from burning in Butler, PA, June 21st, 2006. Following a highway accident in which a box truck at high speed struck the rear of his stopped automobile, Baptiste, who was 47, remained in the driver's seat, unconscious and trapped by wreckage. And, you know, so often we look at burning vehicle situations that stem from a wreck on a highway, and very, very perilous situation. But the car in which Baptiste found himself was virtually demolished. It burst into flames as the vehicles veered across the highway and remained in contact. The flames grew and spread to the inside of the car and to the front of the truck. Gigliotti was 20 at the time. He was a university student. He was in his vehicle, which was stopped near the scene. He witnessed the accident. He approached the car, and despite its interior flames that dropped melting material, reached through the open window of the driver's door, grasped Baptiste by the arm, and pulled on him. Another motorist, Frank Osterling, I believe, who had responded and released Baptiste's safety belt, also pulled, an explosion at the car occurring about them. Another man joined them, and he too reached inside the car through the window to free Baptiste's legs. The men then pulled Baptiste through the window and from the car and took him to safety moments before the car's interior was engulfed by flames. Baptiste required hospitalization for treatment of extensive injuries, which included burns. But these two, Jim, are some of my favorite types of cases when there are co-rescuers, more than one rescuer recognized by the commission, because it brings in a whole nother aspect. It brings in a whole nother element, and that being teamwork, that strangers, most often strangers, when they work together, can find themselves pretty immediately on the same page and kind of sharing each other's thoughts when the stakes are as high as they often are in these cases.
Well, that particular event is really interesting because of the teamwork that you just mentioned, where several people were involved, and it's really gratifying to know that in some instances there'll be people that are standing by or nearby will pitch in and help that rescue. I'm sure there are other times when they just stand there and watch, but these are wonderful stories. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Heroes.